Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network, and it's February 4th, 2020. It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Well, a lot happened. Really some interesting fluctuations, shall we call them, in these markets. You're going to hear about all of them real soon. Mickey, welcome back. Hey, when you want to contact Mickey, he's on Twitter at @mercenarygeo. And mercenarygeologist.com. That's his home site. Mickey, hey, happy February. We got some like interesting numbers to report here.
Well, it was an interesting month. We'll pause and say this is the 8th birthday anniversary of our show with our January review. Record highs until the last week of the month across the board. But then we had the farcical flu fears, and it really took the markets down. The Dow closed at 28,256, down 1%. S&P 500 didn't lose that much. It came off its record high, closed at 32,25 for a 0.2% loss. NASDAQ actually gained for the month, 2% gain, but significantly off its all-time high in the third week of the month, closed at 91.51. Russell 2000 lost 3.2% to close at 16.14 after near record highs.
Yeah, and then we go on to our secondary markets, for lack of a better term, foreign markets.
Yeah, the Toronto Stock Exchange, the big board up there in Toronto, remained positive for the month, close at 17,318 for a 1.5% gain, still came off its all-time record highs. But it was kind of catching up with the Dow, which it underperformed by about 3% last year. Toronto Venture Exchange was flat at 575 for a three-point loss, despite some better gold stocks. With a rise in gold, with safe haven demand, a significant number of the good gold stocks on the Toronto Venture Exchange made major moves over the month. And finally, the big loser across the board in equity markets was the Emerging Market Large Cap Index, the MSCI, lost nearly 5% to close at 1062. Really, that's due to this flu crisis in China and its potential spread to emerging markets in Eastern Asia. And of course, with the crisis, you know, media always needs a good crisis. And we've got one now. The VIX jumped up considerably, closed Friday at 18.84, up from the low teens all month.
Yeah, volatility definitely went up, and probably directly attributable to the coronavirus. And well, they're definitely having quite a bit of panic in China over it and in Asia. It doesn't seem to be really catching hold here in North America, and hopefully that'll stay that way.
I agree with that. And really, the problem here is at last report, 56 million people in China under quarantine, mainly in this southeastern province, Hubei, I think they call it. But this is certainly going to affect the Chinese economy for months to come. Some people, very smart people on China, have argued they've been in a recession, and they were coming out. PMI in China over the last couple of months has been above 50, so that's positive. But it's going to knock them down, and certainly it's going to affect the world economy.
God, yeah. And this gets reflected in our money markets as well with the dollar. I mean, the dollar just flew off the handle, Mickey.
Well, it was up over the last couple of weeks. So as this flu crisis, it is just a variety of flu. Coronavirus is just a mutation of a common cold. But that was positive for U.S. dollar, closed at 98.38, up almost 2%. Euro remained relatively weak. It lost 1%. To down to 111. Big news from financial markets really was the 10-year treasury closed at 1.49% for a 22% loss on the month. This is a 3.5-year low. It reverted to an inverted yield curve of over plus or minus the last week of the year. Really, a lot of this came down from the do nothing, Fed did nothing. And I will say that as long as the Fed does nothing, that's probably good for the U.S. economy. That said, we're in a low interest rate environment and still at 1.49%. Let's call it 1.5% for a 10-year treasury. That's become a safe haven. So compared to the rest of the world, which a lot of it has negative interest rates. And finally, Bitcoin closed with its usual volatility at 93.70, up a whopping 31% on the month.
Well, you know what they say, life is a you know what, and then you marry one. But Bitcoin volatility, there's just no accounting for it. Some people say they can follow the emotions in it, but it's all emotions. I don't know how you track it, but at least when we get to our metals, we had a good month up until February, but we did have a pretty strong month in the metals front.
Well, it was kind of a crazy month for the metals too. Gold was relatively strong the entire month. It closed at $1,589 for a 4.7% gain. The last rise up was certainly due to safe haven demand, but also very strong seasonal demand. We've talked about this before. Gold generally has its best time of year from mid-December to the end of February, and that continued. Silver lagged again. It is not a safe haven metal. It closed at 1801, up 1%. Platinum, which reached above 1,000 the third week of the month and looked like it was going to stick there, got knocked down at the close of the month, closed at 958 for a 0.6% loss. In checking our board, platinum had not been above $1,000 for 2 years. So, and finally, palladium, it went exponential. It had extreme, crazy volatility, up and down as much as $120 hour by hour. It finally reached a high of greater than 2,400, low of the month of 2008, closed about midway between at 2,190 for a 14% gain on the month. And then we have poor Dr. Copper. He is ill along with Hubei province of China, closed at 254 for nearly a 9% loss. Now get this, Kerry. Copper went from on January 20th from a 9-month high of 284 to finish the month at a 4-year low of 254. That all happened in 10 days, less than that in trading, 9 days of trading. And it really has to do with fears of less copper demand as China is embroiled in this flu epidemic, and that's certainly going to affect Dr. Copper. It's going to affect oil demand, and it's also severely affect iron ore demand.
Yep, no doubt you are correct on that score, Mickey. So now we have to look at our energy sector, and boy, was there blood in the pits this month.
Yeah, blood on the streets and red on our board, Kerry. After reaching a high on January 3rd of 63.05, oil cratered. And most of that came in the last week of the month. But WTI finished the month at 51.58 for a 15.5% loss. I'm scrolling down our board right now. Last time we saw oil prices this low would have been in September of 2017. Brent crude was the biggest loser on the energy board, lost over 17%, close at 56.67. Henry Hub split the difference with a 16% loss, closed at 184, too much gas. Scrolling down our board here, last time we saw Henry Hub gas this low was in the commodities crash in the first quarter of 2016. And finally, uranium, closed at 24.70, down a quarter on the month. There is positive news, or let's say this positive rumor came out the last day of the month, the Wyoming governor, and he should know because that's where most of the uranium produced in the United States come from, said that the Trump administration had informed him that they had put $150 million in the 2021 budget for the buying of domestically mined uranium. So let's do the math and assume they're going to price that at a dollar amount where the uranium companies can make a profit, and that would be around $50 a pound. And so that equates to 3 million pounds of domestically bought uranium in fiscal year 2021. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kerry. I think the fiscal year for the U.S. starts in the end of the first half. Is that right?
September or July?
Maybe September. We should probably look that up.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think the end of the third quarter.
Yeah. Yep. Correct. I think it's September, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah. So carrying that on, we would expect some clarification of that as the budget is presented and presumably a ruling on the Section 232 national security issue will come down at that time.
All right. And finally, we get to our ratios, and interesting story is told here as well.
Yeah, so we've already talked about how gold went up and silver didn't really participate much. So gold-silver ratio closed at a high we haven't seen since June, the end of June of 88. Platinum to gold, with the platinum drop and the gold rise, closed at 0.6. That's only one tick off its all-time low of 0.59. And finally, the platinum to palladium ratio closed at 0.44, and it's held at 0.44 over the last 3 weeks, and that's an all-time low. Going to energy ratios, we'll mention the gold to WTI ratio of nearly 31, and the last time we saw a ratio that low was in the summer of 2016 when gold was on that brief but boisterous run.
All right. Well, there's a lot of movement in these markets the first month of the year. I wonder what we are to glean if the January effect is alive and well. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, Mickey, and it's not on our list, but maybe we need to do an entry, is the price of Tesla stock. Because maybe it's an analog for the whole market here, Mickey. You know, it's over $900. It's tripled in the past month. And it's obviously not trading on fundamentals anymore, is it?
Well, and neither is palladium. And we all know that when markets go exponential, they will go parabolic. I was unaware it jumped to 900. Last time I saw it was in the 600 sometime last week. And at the time, it had a market cap greater than GM and Ford combined.
Yes.
I know. It must be 50% above that now. And how many cars they sell last year? 400,000?
412,000.
So compare that with the number of cars that GM and Ford sell, and somewhere, I think, around 7 million cars each or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, as I'm watching the stock ticker, it's one of the most exciting tickers I've ever seen. It went up to 916. Right now it's down to 912. It's up $133 on the day. And, you know, there's always one stock that kind of becomes the embodiment of the bubble. And right now that stock is Tesla. And well, we'll see about its bright future in the auto industry. But that doesn't mean it's a good stock to be buying at these prices. In fact, as Benjamin Graham said, that they have the best company in the world, but the price gets so high to a point that it becomes speculation or unbridled gambling. And that's clearly what we're seeing here. Well, anyway, Mickey, these numbers always tell an interesting story if we just pause to watch them and analyze them and try to figure out what they're saying. And we'll do the same thing next month. That'll be right in the beginning of March. In the meantime, make sure you check out Mickey's work over at Mercenary Geo. That's the Twitter handle. And the website is mercenarygeologist.com. Our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and the Twitter feed is at Carrie Lutz. And feel free to send us any emails, comments, etc. to KL at carrielutz.com. Let us know what you think. How high do you think Tesla can go? Maybe, Mickey, that's going to be my next contest. Guess the price of Tesla on March 15th.
Okay, Carrie, look forward to talking to you in about 4 weeks.